Hello everyone, you're listening to the Rotoviz Highlight Reel, brought to you by MyBookie, the official sportsbook of Rotoviz Radio, as well as Draft. My name is Colm Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. On the Highlight Reel, we feature the top articles on rotoviz.com and get an extended insight into the writer's process and findings. For those of you who don't know, Rotoviz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. Today we'll be discussing the waiver wire analysis, and I'm looking forward to doing this. This is a guy that I've followed for a long time, and it's actually the first time I've got to talk to him on a podcast, so I'm looking forward to doing it now. I'm delighted to be joined by Charlie Kleinhaxel, who is writing this series for Rotoviz and has been running it throughout the season, giving you all the information you need ahead of the waiver wire deadlines in your league. So, Charlie, thanks for jumping aboard the show.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I appreciate the time.
Charlie, obviously you've been doing this series, as I mentioned, throughout the year for Rotoviz. What has been your general process? Is it a case of even starting into who might be the waiver wire targets prior to the games actually taking place on a Sunday, or how does your weekly process go in this article?
Yeah, it generally starts Sunday morning, when seeing who's active and inactive, and then of course you have to watch the games, right? So that's you book that as work time. But then during the games, I'll take notes. You know, if somebody makes a good play or somebody seems to get hurt or isn't playing as much as expected, and that's all just kind of jotting down notes on the coffee table, you know, on a little notepad. But the real work starts Sunday night around halftime during the Sunday night football game. Going through all the performances of the week, players that popped out that maybe weren't expected to pop out, injuries that are always unexpected, and then trying to draw some conclusions from there.
Yeah, so there's lots, obviously, that goes into it. A lot of people's process probably starts, maybe if they see a play, but more likely it's probably starting for most people in general when it comes to Monday or Tuesday, when they start to see maybe who's injured on their team, what positions they need to fill. And this is one of the, in my opinion, one of the best articles up on rotoviz.com this season. And with Rotoviz, you can still sign up to a subscription. The season has started, but you can still sign up to it and get that 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage. That is rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription will give you unlimited access to all our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it supports the pod. So be sure and get your 30% discount now for an NFL pass at rotoviz.com/podcast. And of course, it is going to get you access to this waiver wire article. And with that, it gives you the information into how you do prioritize your waiver wire targets. What do you do to make that priority decision, and who you should, you know, put certain amounts of fab budget on or your waiver wire budget and decide who to go for with one player over the other? What makes one more desirable than the other for you?
Yeah, so much of that is going to be league specific, and that's one of the nice things we do, I think, at Rotoviz, is we have a pretty active message board. So most of the article, I actually spend as much time writing in the comments during the week as I do writing the article ahead of publication, because it's going to depend on your roster and your league settings and how big your bench is and so forth. But in general, I kind of think of it, the more clear the player's role is going to be and the longer it's going to be clear for, the more valuable that player is. So that's kind of just in a vacuum. Now, if that player happens to be at a position you've got depth and spades at, then maybe you don't bid or don't bid as much. But if the player looks like they're going to have a clear role for multiple weeks, that's a pretty good sign to spend a good chunk of your fab. I always struggle with how much to spend because, you know, I've always got that fear like, well, if I blow my budget this week, what if somebody even better comes available next week? So I think a lot of times we tend to under budget or undersell. But the flip side of that is true too. You know, what if nobody else better comes along for the rest of the year? Then you just missed out. Or if you get to week 9 or 10 and you're on the outside of the playoffs looking in, you'll wish you'd spent that money earlier. So I tend to err on the side of overspending earlier in the season. That's not necessarily a rule or a proven formula, but it seems to work pretty good for me.
And obviously when you get to this stage of the season you mentioned there, you know, trying to prioritize your actual budget throughout the season, it can be a tough one because you can go in week one or week two, you can spend your whole budget and it can work out perfectly for you. You can wait all season long and maybe not spend it, or maybe find that real player that can take you to a championship then later on in the season. So it's always hard to prioritize. And you mentioned there, you know, how much to spend. I'm in a couple of leagues where there's multiple copies of players. So there's certain leagues with four copies of players. And sometimes when the waivers run, you can see that sometimes a player might go for one, say, just let's just say $20, and then he might go in another copy for $100. So sometimes you can have huge disparities just to see. So it's very, very interesting just to see people's opinions based on different players. And you see that from league to league and format to format throughout the season.
Yeah, I'm in one league that's a tight end premium, and I bid something pretty steep, like 35% or 40%, I think, for Tyler Kroft. And I looked through other leagues in the same platform, and he wound up not going for anywhere near that. So I definitely overbid on him. But I felt okay about doing it, and I still do. Just, you know, he's going to be the starter and have a role for the rest of the season. So even though I wound up overspending, I did get a starter out of it. So you win some and lose some, yeah.
It's interesting as well that you have to put into the perspective of, say, if you are bidding on Tyler Kroft, if you happen to be somebody who, say, in a dynasty league or that has Tyler Eifert as your tight end, you know, you obviously have to plow a little bit more of your budget into that scenario. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. What you mentioned Tyler Kroft, and we'll see how that works out. He is catching those touchdowns, so at the tight end position at the minute, that's all you can hope for. But maybe what has been your best and worst waiver moves of the year so far? Any that you want to highlight there for us?
Well, the failures are probably as long as my arm, but you know, guys like Buck Allen and Aaron Jones and Tariq Cohen, I think, are probably near the top of the list in terms of hits, and that's going to be generally true every year. Running back is a position where things can change a lot in a hurry, so you can get those guys pretty early in the season, usually. So with Buck Allen, you know, when Danny Woodhead went down, there was a period of time there where there was some, you know, is it going to be Terrence West? Is it going to be a timeshare? They got Alex Collins. And he hasn't had a great week every week, but Allen is definitely the guy that's emerged with the passing game work there that's been very helpful. And then Tariq Cohen's tailed off a little bit in recent weeks, but, you know, even last week he still put up 8 points, which is not going to win your week, but it's not going to lose it for you either. It's still better than a zero in your lineup. So those three running backs, I think, have been pretty good success stories. The flip side, probably the worst one, was Latavius Murray. I just I got a little too tied up in how poor Jerick McKinnon looked last year and read a little too much into, you know, what the Vikings paid to get Latavius this year. And just assume that, you know, he'd emerge with a lion's share of the opportunity right away. And it certainly didn't work out like that through the first couple of weeks. And where he did have a good week this week, but by now he's back on everybody's bench or wire. So that didn't help my my cause very much. I am the sad owner of him in a few leagues.
Yeah, and, you know, I was on board with your kind of Reed and McKinnon, and I'd bought in so many times in dynasty leagues, and I just thought this year wasn't going to be the year I was going to buy in, but it hasn't worked out for me because I went against him. So sometimes it goes for you, sometimes it doesn't go for you, and I was probably a year or two early on this hypothesis of what would happen with Jerick McKinnon. But you mentioned there as well Aaron Jones, and I know with his performance this past week and his performance against the Cowboys, he's won a lot of people a lot of money, both in daily fantasy leagues, DFS, for example, but I know a couple of people as well that have joined in the draft leagues over the last couple of weeks. I've been promoting it here on the show. They are one of the sponsors, and you know, if you sign up to them, you can play anytime, download the app, just search Draft in the App Store, join the game in minutes, or you can play right in your computer from playdraft.com. For a limited time only, if you are a new player signing up, you get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. All you have to do is use my promo code RVRadio. That is RVRadio, and you can play a real money game for free just for using that promo code on your first deposit. And I know a lot of people last week were very, very happy because people were talking, you know, Ty Montgomery coming back in. They were kind of wondering about the timeshare and what would happen, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers out. But a lot of Aaron Jones owners in both DFS and on draft had a big smile across their face when it came to the end of Sunday evening. So get involved with that. It is PlayDraft. It is a lot of fun. And of course, that code is RVRadio when you put in your first deposit. Have you had any success this season, Charles, on draft?
I have, yeah. Probably the biggest success is just the enjoyability of the platform. It's fun to get that little draft buzz in the middle of the season, long after it's gone. And then, you know, you win a few bucks doing it. That's icing on the cake.
Yeah, I was playing, the first few weeks with, I'm in a lot of dynasty leagues, and this year I cut completely out on standard redraft league. So I was going through it. I was just trying to see how my teams would start off. Then some of your teams start off and they're not going too good. Some teams are going very well. So you start to kind of only have a real strong interest in rebuilding some of those bad dynasty teams. And it's fun to be able to go and play some DFS or play on draft and have a little bit of an extra thing to watch as the games go on. So it is a lot of fun, and I urge all the listeners to go and check it out again. That is playdraft.com. So as we continue on here, we look at the series. What has been the biggest lesson you've learned from doing the entire series? Obviously, you mentioned some of the hits and misses, and that's obviously going to be a big lesson as to how to circulate your bids going forward. But again, with the NFL in general, it's an unexact science as to how exactly that. If you could hit on all those players, you'd be winning all your leagues.
That's right. We wouldn't be on this podcast. We'd be on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, chilling.
That's right, exactly. I guess a couple things, and one is just to be humble. It's a real good weekly reminder of just how poor we are at prognosticating or predicting things. But then the other kind of more practical or useful thing is maybe just how much usage really matters, or opportunity. And we talk about that a lot in different articles in different contexts, but a lot of cases, it doesn't really matter if the guy's any good. It matters if he's going to be on the field and getting opportunity. So, Buck Allen barely touched the field last year. He's been a very useful player this year, right? Robbie Anderson is nobody's idea of a special talent at wide receiver, but
he's on a lot of my teams.
right. He's been very useful, and especially during the bye weeks if you need someone, just because he's out there and getting targets and getting those opportunities. So when you're in the midst of a season, it's in a redraft format especially, don't get hung up on talent. Opportunity is the king.
Yeah, 100% in redraft, you have to just go with who's getting those opportunities. And in Dynasty as well, when it comes to the time of the season, it's all about winning. Doesn't matter if it's the guy with the big name or the guy who's just getting plugged in there. You have to have the opportunity. And you mentioned Robbie Anderson. He's somebody that I bought into in a lot of teams in the offseason because he was a flyer. He was just one of those dart throws. And now, as the season goes on, he's having some weeks where you can slot him into your lineup as a wide receiver three. So that's always what you're kind of trying to do as you move along there. So with it, obviously we're looking at the waiver wires for week 8 here, and there's a lot of different players. I've been looking through your article, but is there any of them that you want to highlight as players that maybe are must-owned, or maybe players that some other people are very high on their waiver wires this week, but you think that maybe people should pass over for somebody else?
Yeah, lots of good ways to go this week. So I'm probably staying away from the Oakland running back thing. Marshawn's going to miss a week. After the Kansas City game, the events that happened there, which was pretty entertaining, by the way.
Yeah, but, crazy.
If you had to pick someone there, it would probably be Jalen Richard, but, it's not clear who's going to be getting the most opportunity this week, and then Lynch comes back next week. So it just seems kind of like there's not much long-term upside there.
Yeah.
Guys that I do like, pretty much any Rams wide receiver, if they're available. It's taken a long time to get my head around it, but the Rams offense can score points.
Yep.
And guys like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are getting a lot of opportunity. I think Woods has gone five catches or 50 yards in 4 or 5 weeks in a row now, and Cooper Kupp's getting a huge market share of the opportunity there. So those are guys that I really like getting if I have the opportunity.
Cooper Kupp as well, when you mentioned him there, just I seen a little bit extra of the Rams game this week as they shut out the Cardinals, but he strikes me as somebody who would fit quite well into a Bill Belichick offense. Just not the most athletic, but such a solid catcher of the ball, and has looked quite good. And you mentioned there, that offense is certainly putting up points. So any offense putting up points, you just have to try and hit on the right player on the right week, and there are definitely options to pick up. And maybe if you're interested in some of those players and maybe putting on a little prop bet this week, you can check out my bookie. They have lots of great props up there, nice. as well as standard, you know, bets, you know, just are against the spread bet and whatever you want to do, plus, minus, get whatever in. But I like doing sometimes having a little bit of fun with the props, because there is certain weeks of the season, and you'll hear if you listen to the Fantasy Beat podcast, and I give a star player of the week on that. And I like to just say, like, you know, sometimes back up those picks and put a little bit of money where my mouth is and see how they
go.
So I've had a little bit of fun this season doing that there. And so check out my bookie. You can sign up. Great in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and a great new mobile app, which makes even as smooth as you really could want it all to happen for you. So it's really simple. Just sign up there. And if you sign up now, you get a 50% bonus by using the code ROTORADIO, and that is mybookie.ag. And it's very simple with those guys over there. You play, you win, you get paid. And they are the bookie that I use, and you know, I've no complaints. As a had a few
That's
nice
right.
weeks off there back to so far this season.
Nice. I'll have to check out the prop action. I don't bet often, but I like the idea of the props quite a bit, so I'll check that out. Thanks.
It's a lot of fun when you can slide in, especially if you can just, you know, it's a bit like people are playing DFS, they're putting their favorite players into their lineups, but sometimes you might look and DFS to really hit big, you're going to have to be able to get that player to, you know, cash in at 3 or 4 times his value, but maybe his yardage total for that game might just be, you know, 40 yards, or it might be 4 catches. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can hit on that there and double your money. So definitely something for the listeners and yourself to check out here as we enter week 8. So just as we get ready to finish up, is there any other projects that you have in the works moving forward for the rest of the season we can expect from Mr. Charles Kleinhaxel?
Yeah, the rest of the regular season at least will be pretty tied up with waivers. And then my other weekly article there is more just a compilation of other people's analysis, but we use the tools over at Fantasy Labs to make some DraftKings recommendations for each week. So putting that together, those are the two things. And then for the off season, the big goal is to get our rankings page up to date and make it a more dynamic piece of the site. So you look for that in a couple of months.
Yeah, so obviously in season, like I mentioned on the shows, there's just a lot. It is a grind. People talk about the grind during the season, but you do be going from one show to the next, one article to the next, and you're just working, constantly thinking ahead. And you mentioned there the play of the week as well. It's been fun to be involved. Although my picks so far, quite a few of them have been not very good, but the last couple of weeks it's picked up a little bit.
You've picked up the pace for sure. Yeah, it's such a volatile thing. You know, guys that were good last year are having tough time this year, and week to week there's a lot of variability too, but it's fun to watch the picks. Yeah,
when you're playing as well with a lot of the RV guys, you know, the RotoViz team, and there's a lot of sharp minds in there, and there's a lot of guys that are extremely, extremely good at picking out those nuances and subtle details to get that value. So when you're competing against them, you're trying, maybe sometimes you might be trying to dig a little bit too deep to find those flyers the first couple of weeks. I had some crazy calls in there, so we'll see how it goes the rest of the way. But that's another great thing on rotoviz.com to check out. So with all that done, that's going to do us for today's edition of the RotoViz Highlight Reel, brought to you by Draft and MyBookie. I'm Colm Kelly. You can find me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My guest today is RotoViz.com writer and editor, Mr. Charles Kleinhaxel. You can follow him on Twitter at Spider2YBanana, and that is Spider without an E, and then the number 2, and then the letter Y, and then banana. And I'll let Charles, while he's on, I'm sure a lot of people are interested, how has that there Twitter handle stuck around, and how has it all come about?
That's a good one. You know, years ago when I first got on Twitter, it was in more of a real life or professional kind of thing, and my handle was referencing the industry I worked in, and when that went by the wayside and I just became focused on football, I was looking for something football related, and it happened to be a Monday Night Football game, and I John Gruden was going on about the play, and I think they may have even had bananas in the booth.
John Gruden loves the Spider 2 Y banana.
That's right.
Spider 2 Y banana.
Well, just take that. That'll be perfect. So, and then it stuck. People kind of get the joke. And
I think anyone that watches football that sees it knows that there's a reference in there to John Gruden, but it's a fun one. It's one of the ones that I always enjoy seeing pop up on my Twitter timeline. So make sure you're following Charge on Twitter. That's at Spider2YBanana. Follow me at Overtime Ireland. And until the next edition of the Highlight Reel is back on Thursday, make sure you check that one out as well. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Highlight Reel. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to a RotoViz Pass at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.